So over the last 3 weeks in Joy Camp, we've had a verse that has been kind of our theme verse. Can anyone tell me the theme verse of Joy Camp? Yes. Good job. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9. And we're going to talk a little bit about what this verse means. But firstly, I would like Julian to come up and share a little bit why they decided to make this our theme passage for this year. So thanks, Julian.
Oh, okay. So I'm just going to read it again for all. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." The reason why me and Auntie Danielle picked this verse was because, one, we kind of wanted to have the theme is surrounded by the concept of true riches. And we wanted to concentrate true riches by showing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason why we went for true riches that was because for me as being born in a low income immigrant family, you're kind of born into poverty. But knowing Jesus, knowing that he abandoned his riches in heaven to give us his riches so that instead of us being poor, he becomes poor. It means a lot. But it's not just about the material things per se, and it's way more than that. That's why we kind of share the gospel, and we share that with the kids and the volunteers because we all kind of came from that same background, especially if you live here in Elmhurst. So yeah, that's why we came first.
Thanks, Julian. Appreciate it. I got it. So Julian kind of talked about how the riches that we're talking about in Christ are more than monetary riches. Some people would say that once you come to God, once you believe in God, it's like Oprah. Like if you've ever seen an Oprah Winfrey episode where Oprah said, "And now look under your pew, you've got a new car." Like that's not how faith is. That's not how life with God is. He doesn't promise to give us just all the wealth and power and everything we want. Partly because in the Bible, wealth is important, but wealth also fades away. It can lead us down a wrong path as well as a right path, and ultimately, you can't take it with you. So when Paul talks about riches in the passage that we just read, he's talking about something deeper. Like Julian said, talking about the riches of salvation, how something is wrong with humanity and Jesus came to fix it. He came to save us from the enemies of humanity, sin and death and the devil. He gave us to give new life. And also then, he gave us to give us assurance that you are loved and never alone. That you have worth. That you have purpose and value. That God forgives you and is with you and has a plan for your life. That God knows you. In our passage from Corinthians that we just read, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul is trying to talk to these people who just came to know Jesus. These were people who lived in a very non-Christian society. They lived in a place where nobody even knew about who Jesus was. They never heard about Jesus before. They worshiped many gods. They had gods for very different occasions, gods for different events. And so Paul reminds them in the beginning, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying that the riches that God has for you and for me are all centered around this guy, Jesus. And Paul calls him the Lord. In the original language of the Bible, that word Lord means king, means ruler. And the word Jesus Christ means Lord as well. So basically what Paul is saying is that riches start with God, and the audacious claim of this passage is that Jesus is God. So the riches that really never go away in your life come from God. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is with you, then all the things we go through can have meaning and purpose, and we can have courage in the midst of them because God is with us. And that is what Paul is saying here, is that if you want riches and I want riches in God, then we have to look at Jesus. That's the audacious claim here. Paul says, though Jesus was rich, he became poor. And we might wonder, well, how was Jesus rich and did he become poor? The claim of the Bible is that Jesus was 100% God, 100%. And that is an audacious claim because in this room, I'm sure there are many different understandings of God. For some, God might not be around or there may be no God. For some of us, God might be in the name of Buddha or Allah. For some, God might be looking at you going, you're never good enough. Be that voice of judgment in your life. But the Bible has this pretty consistent kind of message, especially the New Testament, and that is that Jesus is God. And that the riches of God, if you want to be rich in God, then you got to know Jesus. And so you might wonder, how is Jesus rich? Well, if you'll just go with me for a second on that, whether you believe it or not, just go with me. If Jesus was God, then Jesus has everything. He has all the riches of heaven. He has full and perfect power, full and perfect love, everything he could require, but still became nothing. Came down, became a baby, a vulnerable baby, lived among sinners and broken people, walked among them, taught them, and then ultimately was killed by them. For a crime he did not commit, he was strung up on a cross, and the Bible says he was strung up there by his own free will to save us from our sins. This very kind of well-known picture kind of illustrates it, that people and God were separated, that everything we could do to try to earn God's love would never quite get across that chasm. You try to be a good person, that's not enough to please God. You try to be a religious person, that's not enough to please God. But Jesus Christ then crosses that barrier. So now the riches that we have are that there's nothing separating us from God. God is with you. God loves you. God is working with you, has a future with hope planned for you. That is the hope that we have, that there's no barrier between us and God through Jesus Christ. You have God's resources, God's hope, God's care. And this can be difficult to understand when hard times come. Like Julian mentioned, like when we're struggling financially, when we're kind of living in that kind of environment, it's hard to understand that, well, we have riches? We have these things available for us. When hard times come, it's easy. And really, it's overwhelming enough to just think about the hard times. Yet in my life, following Jesus has given me new perseverance and hope in the midst of those hard times. Even though the storms come and God never says in the Bible he'll take away the storms, the hope for me is that in Jesus Christ, I see God as a God who is in the midst of the storm with us. And that's given me a new kind of understanding of my life and a new hope as well. You know, often our life can be like kind of a lighthouse in the midst of storms, like storms battering us. We're just kind of hoping that we'll stay kind of upright through the next storm. Yet for me, what I have found personally is that Christ is like that lighthouse in the middle of the storm. That no matter what tries to strip me of my identity and worth, no matter what storm tries to just knock me down, in the midst of it, I know that my value and my worth, my hope is secure because Christ is my foundation. He's my rock. He's my source of riches. So I know that no matter what if I lose, no matter if I fail, I'm still loved. No matter if people around me say I'm worthless, I have worth. No matter if my life feels like I have no plan and purpose, I have a plan and purpose because of Jesus Christ. Those things are hidden in Christ. They are the riches in Christ. They're not just because of me. You know, so often when we look around us, our value is based on what we do. So if you fail in your job, if you fail in your family, if you fail in your life, you're nothing. You're worthless. People look at you and say, you're nothing. Even your family sometimes can look at you and say, you're nothing unless you perform to a certain standard. But that all changes in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, we see, is a different kind of God. And I encourage you, whether you really believe in Jesus or not in this room today, just to consider that question. What if it is true? Because we have this audacious claim that Jesus is Lord and God, so what if it is true? What changes if Jesus is this kind of God that loves you and gives you grace, this unconditional love? What changes? We have a picture of this love in our second scripture from the Gospel of John. We see in this passage that Jesus is meeting with this woman who is just overcome by grief. She has just lost her brother. Her brother had died 4 days before. And the problem was that Mary, in this passage, believed in Jesus. She was a follower of Christ, and so when her brother got sick, she called to Jesus and said, Jesus, you can heal my brother, come. But he didn't come. 1 day goes by, didn't come. The second day goes by, didn't come. Third day, and then he dies. And still he didn't come. 4 days after he's dead, finally he comes. And if you read the whole passage, you'll see that Jesus could have come. The disciples told him in time he could have come, but he said, no, I got other things to do, I'll come later. So we see that Mary's sister Martha comes out when Jesus finally comes to their hometown, comes out and says, why didn't you come? But still she's faithful, but Mary just isn't gonna have that. Mary was broken down. She was just at the end of her ability. She had nothing left of faith. She couldn't just put a faith band-aid on the problem and say, oh God, I trust God, okay, whatever. She couldn't say that. So all she says is this. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that's the kind of question I think all of us ask when we're in the midst of troubled times. When they're in the midst of those storms, is it's a question really of why. Why, God, did I lose my job? Why did you allow that? Where were you in the midst of that? God, where were you when my child got sick? God, where were you when I got sick? God, where are you in the midst of all the struggles that I'm having? Where are you in the midst of the struggles of the world? And those questions do not have easy answers. Sometimes in churches, we kind of have this idea that we're only given easy answers. That if you ask those questions, you'll be kind of asked to leave and go outside, but that's not true. Here we got to deal with the deep questions because that has to do with who God is. And so when we look at who God is, we look to the Bible and we see how Jesus responds to that question. And we see that he responds in a way that we might not think. You know, if we thought, how would God respond to my lack of faith and my doubts and my even accusations about God, we might think, well, God might be angry at me. God would say, oh, you shouldn't. You should have faith. Why are you being so, weak? Or we could think that maybe just God doesn't care. Or maybe he's not there. But we see Jesus responds in a whole different way here. It says in our passage that when Jesus saw her weeping, Mary, and the Jews who had come with her, also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. That is an amazing sentence. That word deeply moved means to feel in your gut. In the original language of the Bible, which is Greek, it has this feeling of getting sucked, just getting punched in the gut. If you've ever been that way, I hope you've not been punched in the gut. But if you've ever been punched in the gut, you know just that feeling of like, oh, pain. That's the word that describes how Jesus was feeling. And it says he was troubled, which means he was deeply concerned. He wasn't just troubled like, Mary, why are you not having faith? But he was concerned about her. He was concerned about why she was grieving so much. And then it says in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Just think about that for a second. Come with me for a second. If Jesus claims to be God, God weeps. God feels people's pain in the midst of his gut. God is deeply concerned for people's struggles and worries. That is the picture of God in this passage. So whether you believe it or not today, I just want you to get an idea of the picture of God that we get in Jesus Christ. That God is a God who deeply cares for you, who deeply is concerned for you, who feels your struggles and your worries, your sin and your wanderings deep in his gut, and is drawn by that concern to respond to you, to care for you, to listen to you, to seek to save you and guide you. And that's what he ultimately does when he came down to this earth. By dying on a cross, he sought to seek and save who were lost. So when we go back to thinking about riches in Christ, the riches in Christ that we have is that you are saved by grace and grace alone. That grace, this unconditional love of God, this overwhelming care, one-way love, not concerned with the receiver, but only the giver, is given to you. Riches are available to you right now, and all you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And those riches, they're yours. So for those who are not Christians in this room today, I just encourage you to think about that question. What if it's true? What if this is who God is? That God is not pointing his finger saying you're never good enough. God is not distant or not there, but God is real, and his name is Jesus. He is fully revealed in Jesus. What does that mean? What could that mean for your life? Because it changes everything. And for those of you who follow Jesus in this room today, I encourage you to not just let this be another message, because we talk about grace a lot. That is what we try to center and focus our message on, is God's grace in Jesus Christ. But think about what it means to you in the midst of what you're going through right now today, that God is deeply concerned for you, that he deeply loves you, is deeply compassionate towards you, that he's coming towards you before you even come to him, that he's loving you with this amazing, great love in Jesus Christ, and all you have to do again is just say yes. I encourage us today to say yes to Jesus and to rely upon these incredible riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you that there are these incredible riches that we have, Lord, that even if we follow you and come to church every week, we don't live in those riches. We don't utilize them. We don't spend them. They're often not even kind of something we think about. We're still stuck in our fear and worry. So, Lord, we just come to you now and we ask, Lord, that you would give us insight about your incredible grace and love in Jesus Christ, that we might know the riches that we do have if we know you. And if we don't know you yet, if people here are wondering if they believe in another God, if they are wondering about who you are, Lord, I pray that you'd give them insight, that you'd show them, that you'd reveal to them who you are, so that they might receive these incredible riches as well. We thank you, God. We give you all the praise and glory. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.